So, what do you think is going to happen? This man, Lazarus, is sick. We don't know what ailment he had. My guess is maybe cancer? Maybe it was something else, a deadly virus? Whatever it was serious. His family was worried. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and all three of these siblings were friends with Jesus. Mary and Martha get mentioned in the other Gospels. Lazarus, only here in John. Mary, verse 2 says, is going to figure prominently in a story in chapter 12. Tune in next week for that. They lived a couple miles outside of Jerusalem in a town called Bethany. Lazarus was sick. And the sisters knew that Jesus would care. So they sent him an email or a text message. Seeing if you're paying attention this morning. Carrier pigeon? Actually, probably some kind of a courier with this message. Lord, the one you love is sick. What do you think Jesus is going to do? Well, from what we've read so far in the Gospel of John, I expect Jesus to heal him, right? Maybe from a distance. Maybe with some creative application of mud. Maybe with just a word. But I expect Jesus to heal Lazarus, don't you? And that's what it sounds like he's going to do, according to verse 4. Look at verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Familiar themes, right? This sickness is not for death. It's for God's glory. Like the man who'd been born blind. And not just for God's glory, but for the glory of God's beloved Son, the monogenes, God's one and only Son. He's going to get ultimate glory from this healing. And the one who is sick is not just some random person picked out of a crowd who applies to Jesus for help, but someone that Jesus already knows and clearly loves. He loves the whole family. John tells us, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Did I read that right? Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Your translation might be stronger than that. Head scratching. Many translations translate that word, the NIV has yet, as so. Or therefore. He loved them, therefore, he didn't go to them? I don't get it. It says that Lazarus is sick. I understand that. It says that Jesus loves Lazarus. I think I know what that means. But then Jesus does not rush to Lazarus' side. Maybe Jesus knows that he's not really that sick. Or maybe Jesus is scared to go because they want him dead down in the south, down towards Jerusalem. That doesn't sound right either, does it? And in verse 7, Jesus says, okay, now, let's go. Verse 7. Then, after the 2 days, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. So Jesus is not scared. We didn't really think he was, did we? He says, in effect, now's the time to go. Today's the day. It's daylight now. Let's go. I'm on a mission because I am the light of the world. And nobody can kill me when it's not my time to go. Jesus is not scared. He's going to go and heal Lazarus. Except that Lazarus has already died. Verse 11. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he had meant natural sleep. They're so prone to misunderstanding, aren't they? All the way through the Gospels. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." The goal of this sermon today is to awaken and to strengthen your faith in Jesus. That's my goal. The goal of my sermon today is to awaken and to strengthen your faith in Jesus. That, of course, is the goal of all of my sermons, especially these ones in the Gospel of John, because that's the whole point of this whole book. John said he wrote it so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in Jesus' name. But today I want to awaken and to strengthen your faith in Jesus in three really big ways. And after studying John 11 this morning, I want you to believe like you've never believed before that Jesus loves you. Believe that Jesus loves you. I want you to come away from today's message more convinced than ever before that Jesus loves you, even when it doesn't seem like it. Because it probably didn't seem like it or feel like it to this grieving family. I was struck this week as I meditated on this passage how many times and in how many ways John insists that Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. We're only up to verse 11 so far, and how many times have we seen it so far? Verse 3, "Lord, the one you love is sick." They knew it. Verse 5, John says it, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Verse 11, "Our friend," this is Jesus' own words, "our friend," same word for love there, behind the word friend, "our loved one, Lazarus, has fallen asleep." Jesus loved Lazarus. And yet he did not rush to his side. He did not heal him from nearby or from afar. Was it because he couldn't heal him? This must have been so hard for them. Friends with Jesus, and he doesn't show up. And so hard for the disciples standing around him. Friends with Lazarus, and yet we don't go. Sometimes it really seems like Jesus does not care. You might be going through a season like that right now. You feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down. Where's Jesus? Seems like he's holding back. This is especially true when we encounter sickness and death. There's a pernicious lie going around that if Jesus loves you, then you will only experience health, wealth, and prosperity. That's a lie. Tell that to Job. Tell that to Paul. Tell that to Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Jesus loved them. And Lazarus still got sick and died. Heather and I are empty nesters this weekend. No kids on the pew. All of our kids are either living and working out west or visiting those who are living and working out west. So we came to church by ourselves today. Thankfully, my folks are nearby, and Dad's sister's visiting them this weekend, so we have some kinfolk around the table for family dinner. But 25 years ago, this month, we came to church then without any kids, because our eldest child, a daughter, was stillborn at 6 months gestation. That's still pretty much the hardest thing that has happened to me yet. I feel it in my bones every time April rolls around. Death, grief, pain, sorrow, heartache. Death in the womb. Where is Jesus? Heather and I believed then, and we believe now, that Jesus loves us. But to believe that, we have to believe that Jesus loves us in a way that is deeper than we can truly understand. We must believe that Jesus cares more about our faith than our health, and even than our very lives. So that Jesus stayed back those 2 days for a reason, and it was not indifference, it was love. See what he said in verse 15? He said, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there. Why? So that you may believe. He doesn't mean that he's glad that Lazarus died or that he missed the death. We'll see that very clearly in just a few verses. But he is glad he missed the death itself for this reason, because he cares about something even greater than our health and our life. Do you have anything greater than your health and life? I hope you do. So many do not. That's all they care about. There's got to be something bigger than my health and even my life. Jesus cares about our faith. He says, so that you may believe. For your sake, so that you may believe. Jesus wants us to trust him even to the brink of death and then beyond. Jesus wants us to believe like never before that he loves us with a love we cannot comprehend. That he is our good shepherd. That he knows us. That he calls us by name. That he wants good things for us. That he cares and that he knows what he is doing. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? He wants you to believe that like you've never believed it before. Jesus loves you. And then Jesus says, but let us go to him. Let us go to Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. As if Lazarus would care if he had visitors, right? He doesn't say, let's go to Mary and Martha. He says, let us go to him. Verse 16. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Pessimistic much, Thomas? Thomas may be more famous for doubting, but he should be famous for his courage. He knows how unpopular Jesus is with the authorities, but he's like, oh well, let's go die with Jesus. Let's run towards the trouble. He had something more important than life, his life. And he was right, wasn't he? They were going to get to Jesus before too long, though, spoiler alert, Thomas wasn't going to die with him. So they head down to Bethany. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Not just two, but four. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. In this time period, the Jews mourned for at least a month. They're still in the first week of that. Lazarus has been dead and buried for 4 days. He was long gone before Jesus arrived, and everybody is grieving and grieving hard. One of the sisters, Martha, hears that Jesus is coming, finally, and she goes out to greet him. Look at verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Do you feel her grief when you read it? It's not quite a rebuke, right? She doesn't say, where were you? But she's feeling that. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I don't think that she's expecting Jesus to heal Lazarus now. She's just saying, I still believe you're powerful. I still believe in you, even though I don't understand you. Can you go that far this morning? I still believe in him, even though I don't understand him. I don't know why you let this happen, but I still believe that you love us. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I don't know about you, but the hair on the back of my neck stands up when I read that. Your brother will rise again. He doesn't say when. Martha thinks she knows when. Verse 24, Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha believes her Bible. She knows her eschatology. She's read Daniel chapter 12. She knows there's a resurrection. But Jesus is talking about something much bigger and much nearer. He's talking about himself. You know how we're always pointing out that Jesus tends to make everything about himself? Well, he does that here with the resurrection. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? There's our title for today, right? And it's also the fifth I am statement of Jesus in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, our memory verse. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Now, I am the resurrection and the life. What an amazing thing to say. Notice that he doesn't just say that he gives people life, right? He doesn't say, I have power over death. He could say that, says it in other places. I give people life. He doesn't say that. He says he is the resurrection and the life, personally. Himself, he himself, in himself. It's another claim to deity. It's like saying, I and the Father are one. Or before Abraham was, I am. He's claiming to be God. He's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the thing itself. No matter he makes everything about himself, everything is about himself. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Here's the second of three things I want you to believe today, like you've never believed before. Believe that Jesus will raise you from the dead. Believe that Jesus loves you even when it doesn't really seem like it. And believe that Jesus will give you life again even if you die. You see, Jesus is the cure for death. Jesus promises to kill death and to give new resurrection life to those who will believe in him. I think verse 25 is talking about the resurrection to physical life, and verse 26 is talking about the spiritual side of it. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's resurrection, right? And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's spiritual life. That's the eternal, abundant life. Life that never, ever, 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 ever ends. And then he says, do you believe this? Because that's the big question. Do you believe this? He's made a pretty bold claim. And he asks her very simply, Martha, what's your answer? Do you believe this about me? A lot rides on that, doesn't it? Have you heard the phrase YOLO? Y-O-L-O. You only live once, right? People just say it before they go do something kind of exciting or dangerous, risky. People who say YOLO often take risks, but it's because they think this is their one shot to really live. But Jesus says, if you believe in him, you live twice. And that, you'll still take risks if you're going to live a second time, right? But you're going to take risks now in this first life that affect the life to come. You'll live for Jesus' kingdom instead of your own. You'll head out to Kansas City on a challenge trip. You'll jump a plane for Malawi. You'll talk to your neighbor or your coworker about Jesus. You'll stand up in front of the church and give your testimony and be baptized. You'll grieve over your dead loved ones because they're gone for now. But you'll grieve with hope. You lean on the everlasting arms and your anchor holds. Your anchor holds. You really believe that Jesus loves you and that one day he will really raise you from the dead. That changes everything. We should be fearless, friends. I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, do you believe that? Matt, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Look at verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Woohoo! Way to go, Martha. A plus, 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 plus. That is the right answer. That's John 3:16. That's the way to life in Jesus' name. That's faith. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. That's John 1:9, right? The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. She says, yes, Lord. I believe. I believe like never before that you love me and that you will raise me from the dead. Friends, that's not a metaphor. That's not figurative language. That's not flowery, sentimental overspeak. I expect to die and to be buried in some way, and then one day for Jesus to bring me back to life. Remember what Jesus said in chapter 5? I tell you the truth, a time is coming, it has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Spiritual life. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Remember that? And he has given him, the Son, authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I believe. And with that, Martha goes and fetches Mary. Verse 28. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, she said. And he's asking for you. She wants him to hear it too. She wants her to hear it too from him. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. These two sisters are very different in some ways. We find that in the Gospel of Luke. And they're very similar in others. They were both grieving really, really hard. Verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Oh, we're going to the graveside to mourn with Mary at the tomb. So everybody's getting up, they're grabbing their stuff, they're following her out, everybody's crying. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Exact same thing Martha had said. Same grief, same bewilderment, same belief in the power of Jesus to heal, same sorrow. She's weeping away. And then Jesus starts to get emotional. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Those words are hard to translate into English to really get the sense of them. The King James says he groaned in spirit. The Greek word is embrimaomai, and it comes from the sound that a horse makes when it's angry. Any horse people here? Want to tell us what sound a horse makes when it's angry? Holly, what sound does a horse make when it's angry? You don't have to make it. What? Like a snort. It's like an indignation, like a... like that? Can you imagine Jesus making that noise? Air escaping. Angry. The second word there, for troubled, has the idea of his body shaking with it. Jesus is not out of control, but he is rip, snorting, mad. And he's distressed. At what? He was not mad at these people. He sees them crying, and he's not like, "Why are they crying? Don't they know I'm here?" That's not it. What's he so outraged and distressed about? Death. Jesus hates death. Death is Jesus' enemy. Death is an enemy. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Jesus loved Lazarus. If you need proof, look at how he's acting now. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary. Jesus hated death. He hated that they were grieving. He hated that they were ripped apart as a family. It made him cry and shake to see them weeping like this. And so now he's going to do something about it. And he's going to prove that he is the resurrection and the life. Look at verse 34. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. But so much meaning in it. Jesus wept. Does your view of Jesus have him crying? In those words, we see how human Jesus was. He was really human, 100% human. And he was as manly as they came, and he cried. And he was full of compassion, and he was full of grief. He's not out of control, but he's emotional. He's a man of sorrow. He shows us how to live as a fully human person, not afraid of our emotions. Men, do not be afraid to cry. Ladies, do not be ashamed of your tears. Don't be afraid to cry when you love someone and they die. Something wrong if you don't. I never cried as hard as I did in April 1999 when we lost Carice. Verse 36, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." There it is again. He loved Lazarus. And he loves you. This is how he would feel at your graveside, or the graveside of one that you love. Verse 37, but some of them said, Could he not who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? They don't believe. Yes, he could have done that. He's not crying because he couldn't heal Lazarus. He's crying because his friend is dead, and because he hates death, and because he loves these people so much. And here's that word again, verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved. came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Tears streaming down his face. You're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me. Believe. That's what he really cares about. That's what we really need more than anything else. Believe. That's what he prays for. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I believe that Jesus had not specified Lazarus, there would have been people coming out of their graves all around the world. Jesus had told the disciples in verse 11, he was going to wake up Lazarus. And now Lazarus awakes. Verse 44. The dead man came out. His hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go, because he's alive. Lazarus is alive. He was totally dead. It even says there, the dead man came out. To make it clear that we know which guy came out of that tomb. It was the one who had been dead, totally dead. Not only mostly dead, right? Totally dead. 4 days. And now he's back. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The questions we have, right? I wonder all kinds of things. Like if Lazarus was disappointed that he had to be brought back only to die again another day down the road. Thanks a lot, Jesus. We don't get to ask those questions yet. We just have to sit with this question that Jesus asked Martha in verse 26. Do you believe this? That's what it comes down to. Do you believe this? Because not everybody did. Even people who were there did not believe in Jesus after that. Look at verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews would come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. Praise God. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Tattletales. They even saw the miracle, and they just wanted to get Jesus into trouble. And he did get into trouble. I told Jenny we'd stop at verse 46, but look what happens next, verse 47. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here's this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. How terrible it will be if they just believed in Jesus. Verse 49, then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. We're going to have to kill him, guys. We're going to have to kill him. He did not say this on his own, John says. But as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Here's the third and last thing I want you to believe like you've never believed before. Believe that Jesus died for you. Caiaphas had it all wrong, and he had it all right. Jesus did have to die for this nation, just not like Caiaphas thought. And Jesus had to die, not just for the Jewish nation, but for, verse 52, the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. Who is that? That's Gentiles, like you and me. That's that other flock that Jesus was talking about in chapter 10. Jesus had to die for you and me. The good shepherd had to lay down his life for his sheep only to take it up again. Jesus had to die for you even though you did not deserve it. He had to die for you and me so that he could give us forgiveness and so that he could give us new life. Do you believe this? I do. And you know why? Because Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the resurrection and the life.